Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, I think we're up to 66 somewhere. Yeah, okay. Ragya Kashipatir Gatva Mahisha Putra Bandava Porascha Hatarajan Natanateki Prarudhan. My dear king, remember what happened yesterday, or is still happening, it depends how you view it, eternal pastime, that these residents of Kashi, they saw the head, they didn't know what it was, and they saw the head decorated with earrings lying in at the gate of the royal palace. The people present were puzzled. Some of them asked, "What is this?" Others said, "It's a head, but whose is it?" My dear king, when they recognized this as the head of their king, the Lord of Kashi, his queens, sons, and other relatives, along with all the citizens of the city, began to cry pitifully, "Alas, we are killed, oh my lord, my lord." Mahisha Putra Bandava, Pora, these are the names. Bandava are the other the relatives. Sometimes Bandava can refer to friends, relatives. Mahisha, the queens, sons, the putra. Nata, Nata, O master, Purud, Purudam, they cry out loud. 27:8. Sudakshinas tasya sutta kritva samstavidhim pate nihatya pitrihantaram yasyamya pachitim pitu ityatmana bisandhyaya sopadhyaya maheshwaram sudakshina urchayam asa paramena samadina. After the king's son Sudakshina had performed the obligatory funeral rites for his father, he resolved within his mind, "Only by killing my father's murderer can I avenge his death." Thus the charitable Sudakshina, together with his priests, began worshipping Lord Maheshwar with great attention, purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, "The Lord of the kingdom of Kashi is Vishvanath, Lord Shiva. The temple of Lord Vishvanath is still existing in Varanasi, and many thousands of pilgrims still gathered daily in that temple." 29. I'll just read this one. Prito vimukte bhagavan tasmai varamadad vibho pitrihanti vadopayam svabre varamichitam. Satisfied by the worship, the powerful Lord Shiva appeared in the sacred precinct of Avimukta and offered Sudakshina his choice of benedictions. The prince chose as his benediction a means to slay his father's killer. 30 and 31. Dakshinagnim parichara brahmanai samam vijang abhichara vidanena sachagni pramatavita sadayasyati sankalpam abramanye prayogita ityadishtashtata chakre krishnaya vicharambati. Lord Shiva told him, accompanied by brahmanas, serve the Dakshinagni fire, the original priest, following the injunctions of the abhichara ritual. Then the Dakshinagni fire, together with many pramatas, will fulfill your desire if you direct it against someone inimical to the brahmanas. So instructed, Sudakshina strictly observed the ritualistic vows and invoked the abhichara against Lord Krishna. Purport. It is clearly stated here that the powerful Dakshinagni fire could be directed only against someone unfavorable to Brahminical culture. Lord Krishna, however, is most favorable to the Brahmanas and in fact maintains the Brahminical culture. Lord Shiva thus knew that if Sudakshina attempted to direct the power of this ritual against Lord Krishna, Sudakshina himself would perish. Om Gyana Tamaranda Shyaganjana Shalakaya Chakshamarikandina Tasmai Shri Yurvenma Panchakabhadarubhyascha Kipasindubhyavacha Patitam Padamito Vaishnavindu Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So these people were shocked, especially considering that this particular, their Lord and Master, King, had solemnly promised that he would deliver the head of Krishna. So the last thing they would expect is that his head would show up there at the gate. Of course, this is not a messy situation like we know of today with all kinds of war, but this nice, clean city of Kashi, you imagine, or we know for sure, we don't exactly know, but big Gopuram. I mean, even now, today, some of the South Indian Gopurams are 200-300 feet tall, 20 stories. What to speak of 5,000 years ago? No doubt, this very opulent gate could have been, even now, Tirupati Sri Rangam, they're covered in gold. So you have this situation here with this head and this fabulous, it's not like there's heads, it's not a battle scene, there's no heads lying around everywhere. So they were shocked to see this. Mahisha Putra Bandava. Putra. In many places we find the Bhagavatam, Stri Putra, this attachment, especially for a king. He has his so many wives and so many sons, so many other relatives, and Paura, many citizens, and all shocked. And they were crying pitifully. Alas, we are killed. They identified. This is the problem. Material world, identity, crisis, misidentity. Viparyaya. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, we have this sarvartam viparitam cha. That's the end of Bhagavad Gita. But in the beginning, nimittani cha pasyami viparitani kejava. That Arjuna himself, he's a model devotee, but he was put into some a little illusion. So, nachashak naum yavastatum brahmativa chame mana. In the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he said, I can't even stand here. I'm so attached to my relatives. And my whole body, vipatush, my skin is, everything is, my bow is slipping. Brahmaharshas chajayate. Yes. So many, these two verses describe Arjuna's predicament. And then it says, nimittani cha pasyami viparitani. And Prabhupada elaborates on the situation that everyone comes into the material world and they get just the opposite. Nimittani cha pasyami. They see on the battlefield all their relatives. We come to enjoy bulya tomare samsari ashya. Forgetting Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, forgetting you, bulya tomare. He's very familiar with Krishna, tomare. Many times, tumi, he addresses Krishna in a very personal way, which is something one should think about. But there he says, bulya tomare samsari ashya, pe nana vidha vyata. We have so many miseries forgetting Krishna, and like Arjuna on the battlefield, and faced with all his relatives. And so this Sudakshina, it also says here, mentions, I didn't get a chance to study it so much, the whole Bhagavatam, there's so much there, that in this one verse it says, thus the charitable Sudakshina. So although he was a demoniac persuasion, he was charitable. I'm looking for the word here. Dakshina means, sudakshina literally means charitable, actually. When I'm looking at the word meaning, sudakshina. And Karna, Duryodhana, they're known as great charitable persons. Even Jarasandha, somehow or other, they were charitable persons. And Bhagavad Gita also covers this in a very nutshell way. I'm sure Maharaj can tell me the verse. No, 16th chapter. Iti Modishya. They're very satisfied with their charitable. What is it? Yakshe Dashami Modishya. They think they're very charitable. Yakshe, I will give so much charity, everyone will be very happy. But they're doing it for their own emolument. Iti Agana Vimohita. Is that the last line? No. But Krishna says, Agana, Om Agana, Timarandasya, devotees are different. They're very humbly submitting to the parampara and taking instruction. Whereas taking instruction of Lord Shiva, by the way, Lord Shiva, this little note that it says, the temple of Vishwanath, how Mahaprabhu went to the temple of Vishwanath, and there were huge throngs of crowds of, especially after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was known that Mahaprabhu had enticed all the big Mayavadis headed by Prakashananda. So after that, whenever Mahaprabhu would go out in Kashi, then huge crowds, hundreds of thousands of people would try to get his darshan. But this Sudakshina, though charitable, he had a fault. Here Lord Shiva gave him a direct, and he said, this will only work for someone who, but he was convinced that it would work because here it says, Lord Shiva told him, if you directed against someone inimical to the Brahmanas, he kind of left out a little bit, there's more. The Acharyas mentioned that Sudakshini was completely convinced. He never had any clue that Krishna was the Namo Brahmanya Divaya Gobramanya, like the devotees accept it. He's a supporter. He supports the Brahmanas, who have all our pastimes, and Narad Muni or the Sudama Vipra. When the Brahmanas come to see Krishna, he bathes their feet in a specific pastime. But Sudakshini was thinking that Krishna, is he some kind of kshatriya, and he is very powerfully demanded that all the brahmanas worship him. He's subverting all the brahmanas forcefully, and out of fear, they're worshiping Krishna. It's not that he didn't have any idea, clue about the Bhagavatam version that Krishna was bathing their feet and supporting the brahmanas, taking the dust. In the 11th chapter, he says, I take the dust of the brahmanas, the devotees, on my head. Or in the 4th canto, he says, I will lop off my arm for the brahmanas, to support the brahmanas. This was not Sudakshina's idea. So, what was that? Yeah, 3rd canto. He, in fact, maintains the Brahminical culture. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Gobramanitaya. Jagat Hitaya. So Krishna is Jagat Hitaya, but these personalities like Sudakshina, although his name denotes that he's very charitable, they don't really have that mood. Etam drishtam avashtabhya nashtatman alpabhudaya prabhavant yuga karmana kshayaya jagato ahita. In the 16th chapter, another verse describes the demoniac mentality. They do all these works meant to destroy the world. So the idea that he wants to destroy Krishna means he like to, just like Hiranyakashipu, destroy the entire universe. He may be less famous for it and less culpable because his name, but factually, he's trying to kill Krishna with his plan. Sometimes the fire yagyas don't work out. just like in the ninth chapter, where there was Tvashta, Vishvarup, that Devas had employed Vishvarup, who was known to be a half-breed. He was half-demon. So somehow or other, because he was so expert, they employed him to do this big yajna that they could defeat the demons. But when they did the yajna, Tvashta did the yajna, he said the mantra wrong. He wanted to get someone who could defeat Indra. Indra Shatro. And he said it, instead of saying the short syllable, he said it long. So anyway, Vritrasura was born, a huge demon who turned out to be an incarnation of Chitraketu, but he was actually very fearful. Vritra means he covered the universe. And he came out of the fire. So this is one of the things. Durvasa Muni also, when he was very angry with Maharaj Ambarish, he took a hair and he threw it down and he created this huge fiery demon which was destroyed by the Sudarshan Chakra. And also the Sudarshan Chakra chased Durvasa Muni. So these fire sacrifices they're not meant to be done in the age of Kali. We say that we do some marriage fire sacrifices, but generally speaking, prayana means mainly we do the Harinam, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, Sangopang Ashta Parshatam. So the weapons that we employ, there were many weapons used previously, but in these days we have our main weapon is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially, they are able to wield the weapon of the Hare Krishna Mantra. In this way, we have no fear of any type of demons. The demons they're seeing things all the time, opposite of what they are. That it's meant for me to enjoy. If I do some yajna, then it's meant to maintain my father, Putra. Putra Adishu. What is that? Deha Patsya Kalatra Adishu Atma Senaishva Satsapi. Esham Pramato Nidhanam Pashanapi Napashati. They see, but they don't see. So even though he heard Lord Shiva, but he doesn't hear it. He heard Lord Shiva's instruction, but he heard it in his own tainted way, tainted by the modes of nature, seeing it through these prism, this poisonous prism. Then another instance of a little bit like this was the Bhattadharis in the Chaitanya Charita Majalila. There's a story about Kala Krishnadas, that Mahaprabhu had to personally save him from the allurement of Maya. And when these Bhattadharis, they're like gypsies, so they would go all around like nomads and entice people. Just this is going on all the time by sex. Everybody's becoming enticed, illusioned. Maya mohita chetasa, entire material world. Even nowadays, the jihadis, they entice people in their own way. They invite you. We get you a wife, you join us. So many ways. So these Bhattadharis, while Kala Krishnadas was traveling with Mahaprabhu, and he was the only one traveling in South India at that time, they enticed him with these beautiful women. And the next thing you know, he went off with these Bhattadharis. I don't know how he escaped. It's hard to understand. But Prabhupada says, this is an example how even if one is with the Supreme Personality of God as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, still he can be lured by Maya. Maya is so powerful. So what to speak of Dakshina, Sudakshina. Even Kala Krishnadas was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he disappeared, Mahaprabhu immediately understood. It's a pastime. After all, Mahaprabhu could have saved him and just not even encountered these Bhattadharis, but somehow or other, the Bhattadharis appeared with their beautiful gypsy ladies. They took Kala Krishna away. So Mahaprabhu went to their camp, and of course, then I don't know if they were like gypsies exactly. Gypsies. Gypsies are all kinds. Romanian gypsies. They have these Irish gypsies and English gypsies. There's gypsies all over the world. Name has become synonymous, but the idea is they gyp people still also. But I know when I grew up in New York, I'm sure Maharaj and Maharaj knows this term. I don't know if they have it outside of New York. Being got gypped. It comes from the gypsies probably, because they would gyp people, you know, like do some kind of thing and take your money and be gone. I probably have some gypsies in my lineage. But anyway, so Mahaprabhu went to their camp, and their gypsies, the Bhadadharis, were very well armed. They started to shoot bows and arrows and throw things, and swords. And they had lances. And all those weapons went right back at them like boomerang, and they started cutting these Bhadadharis to pieces. Generally, we don't see that Mahaprabhu he utilizes this type of weapon, but in this particular pastime, he didn't do it directly, but it went back at them. In a similar way, Nagni, the Sudakshina, his yajna, it turned on him, and ultimately, we'll read, it wasn't very good for good health, to do a yajna against Krishna. But this is what he did, and that's what happened to him. And also, it's mentioned here that this Dakshinagni fire, we have one of the instances where the word is used, it is the Ritadvaja, or the word is used, Ritadvaja. Generally, this is a word for priests who sit around the fire. There's four Hotra and the different priests. I can't remember all the names. Who remembers the names? There's four types of priests that sit. One is a referee priest, and one throws the ghee, one chants the mantras. And what's the fourth one do? Referee, one chants mantras, one the ghee. One starts the fire with mantra. So there's four priests. And they're generally known as Ritwik priests. Now, there's, of course, a movement that where they think that that priest should be the only guru or disciple, and which is kind of a funny thing in a way, Ritwik. That could be sometimes if the guru gives the command, this person do it. Prabhupada used to do that. Such and such person, whether sometimes Ravadi Nandan, Kirtananda, Kurandar, or some prominent devotee who knew how to do it, he would do it. But no one ever thought that that person was his guru. They always knew that Prabhupada was their guru. There's no question about that. But here it says that the fire, this Dakshinagni fire, is the prominent Ritwik. Dakshinagnim. Ritvijang, the original priest. And it says the pramatas, the mystics who are in Lord Shiva's retinue and who assume many different forms, they will also appear, the pramatas. Okay. So if anyone has something to add to this little bit.
No, it's sort of a question. I always try to make my comments seem like they're questions. But we hear that in terms of, like in Kali Yuga, we don't see these big yajnas anymore. These things don't happen. They're not supposed to be done in Kali Yuga, especially these nasty ones. But the essential, the dynamic principle still seems to be there below the surface. Like Srila Prabhupada in the purport in Bhagavatam, he would say that modern scientists, they're actually worshiping Durga Devi. They're actually Shaktis, because they're surrendering so much. They're meditating so much on the material energy in the laboratories, and they're completely absorbed in it. So they're like equivalent to worshiping Durga, although they may not be aware that all this material energy is ultimately a personal entity like Durga Devi. So I was just wondering if I'm extending the principle too far. I'm stretching the thing. That there was this thing called, you know, this idea of invoking some tremendous fire. You know, you mentioned Prabhupada Karmana Shaya Yajaka. So I was just wondering, like for instance, there was this huge sacrifice, we can say, in modern times, called the Manhattan Project. It was Manhattan, Kansas, actually. And there were thousands of people involved. They had to keep total secret. They spent $1 billion in money of that time. I mean, it was this huge, huge jugya that they performed.
To create the atomic bomb.
To create a big fire monster, which was the atomic bomb. And although they would never consider it as a religious activity, but at the same time, the basic dynamic is there, just total sacrifice of resources and time and total meditation on that and over an extended period of time, and they got the result. I mean, it was mystical. You know, who was it, Oppenheimer, a teller, he recited Kalosmi Lokakshaya Krit Pravita, he recited the verse from Bhagavad Gita, time I am, destroyer of the worlds, when he saw the mushroom cloud.
It's not that far-fetched to say that, because Prabhupada specifically says it in the 16th chapter about that verse in the purport, Etam Drishtam. They do all these horrible works, and they said this verse indirectly predicts the atomic weaponry. And that verse is just one or two verses from the sacrifice verse, Iti Aganavimohita, Modisha, Yakshedashami Modisha, Iti Aganavimohita, practically, you know, right before that verse. They do sacrifices to destroy the world, and that fits right in.
I mean, even in that, Bhagavan Chubhita Karnamanakshaya Yajagadho, in other words, we can interpret that as sacrifice.
No, Prabhupada also says it directly right there.
Oh, okay.
And in another place, in the second canto, there's also a statement like that about the atomic weapons. And, you know, those, is it those who can't, like, it says, adharmam dharmam itiya. What is it? Tamasavritaha. Viparitam, sarvartam viparitams cha. Buddhisaparta tamasi. Those whose intelligence is in the mode of ignorance, then they do all opposite things. They don't know religion from non-religion. So they're in the modes of ignorance, and they're doing all these things. And it's going on right now. Bombs, suicide, fire. This is, so they don't know what is religion. They're all, so Sudakshina doesn't mean that he's religious. He thinking that's religion. So it's not like we can say, oh, he was religious then and they're not now. Some of them may be good Christians, but they thought it was okay to blow up a bunch of Japanese or blow up anybody.
I thought I was finished. What I'm suggesting is sort of like the flip side of that. In other words, that in modern times, it is religion. It's cheating religion. It's a religious process. And even black magic is a kind of, it's a type of religion in the lowest sense of the term. You know, religion in the mode of ignorance. It's faith in the mode of ignorance. So I'm saying that
you're saying Sudakshina is a religion.
It's a very low class kind of religion. You follow.
Well, I'm saying that those guys who did this Manhattan Project, or the guys who are doing it now, whether it's the Muslim jihadis, they think they're religious too.
Yeah, what I'm trying to suggest is that maybe religious isn't the best word for it. I'm just saying that the Vedic dynamic principle.
The name of religion, just like they're doing the name of, this probably uses that terminology, in the name of. So.
Yeah, with the dynamic process of performing jugya and getting some result, even if it's a horrible result, it didn't like completely retire. It's still there. It's just they may call it by other names. In other words, they may not, people who, like in the Manhattan Project, they may not have said, we're making a jugya, we're making a sacrament. They didn't, may not think like that, but essentially they were.
But what's their beef with everyone else? They have their religion. Hitler had his religion. Or the Japanese had their so-called religion. They may do it in the politics, but actually it's all in some, they have faith in something, faith in the mode of ignorance. Yeah. It's a gray area.
Just to comment a little bit on this fire jagya, after Parikshit was killed by Taksha, Janamejaya decided to do a fire jagya to kill all the snakes of the world. And as they performed this huge jagya, all the snakes were moving to come into the kund and falling there, being killed. But when he didn't see Taksha coming, he said, where is Taksha? He said, well, he's hiding with Indra. And they actually invoke Taksha and Indra. And Taksha and Indra were coming full speed towards the jagya too, you see?
Yeah.
And I think somebody had to stop it.
Kashyapa Muni or something?
Yeah, but somebody, but those jagyas was powerful. I mean, if they invoke, say, well, you're a devotee, but say somebody, they want to kill, that person actually sails and come into the jagya.
Yeah, that's Jamanjaya, and certain people have the power to do that. Even that Shringi, little 10, 12-year-old boy, had the power to curse Maharaj Pariksit and bring on the whole Kali Yuga.
In putting it together, it seems to me that the mode of goodness, which sometimes is a consistent determination, that a lot of times they'll say anybody's in the mode of goodness, he does it religiously. He goes to work religiously.
I don't hear that about people in the mode of goodness myself. I mean, they shoot people religiously. They play pool religiously, shoot pool religiously.
It's a club.
They drive fast cars religiously. I mean, that term's used for everything.
Yeah, that's the point. The point is anytime something is done with attention, with a determination, and the vocabulary in different groups is different, but in the modes of nature, then it kind of like supreme wisdom, best of all knowledge. It points these things out that instead of calling it according to your section, this is religion, this is not they. It is said this mode of goodness where you'll sacrifice everything. Your attention specifically is one of the items that's in the mode of goodness. You know, that whatever you concentrate on.
Maharaj, he'll give you the verse, 18th chapter. Yeah, dritti, determination, all different modes.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Like the Gayatri was given to people when they were predominantly by in the mode of goodness and religious life. When they were if you were consistent in Jambhagavata Seva, then they said, okay, but this mantra only works if you're in the mode of goodness. So that separates the theory.
Okay, any ladies have comments? Anyone else? All right. Srimad Bhagavatam.